Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
It is The Rob Carson Show. The number is 800-922-6680. We have much to get to. A trial in New York City that's going to be salacious. It's based on nonsense. You're going to hear a lot of things that are not even remotely related to the allegations at hand. And just stay focused. Stay focused as the founders. The left is doing this to us. They have thrown our country into turmoil. I told you that they were going to make 2024 into the summer of 2020 all over again. And we have to decide whether we're going to take it. And I'm not going to take it. If you bring that crap to my hood, you're going to get a beat down. If you bring this anti-Semitism to a campus near me, you're going to get a beat down. It is time for America to say enough is enough. We cannot allow creeping anti-Semitism to devolve into violence against the Jewish people. And we cannot do anything but defend Israel. Columbia University shifts to virtual learning, heightened security amid the start of Passover. Did you hear what I said? The start of Passover. Columbia University classes being held remotely as intense pro-Palestinian protests continue on the school campuses. Monday evening also marks the first night of Passover. New York City officials, NYPD officials, say the Jewish holiday may catalyze extremist groups or individuals to commit acts of violence or intimidation. When these happen, we need to respond in kind. If the police aren't going to do anything, we will have to defend our brothers and sisters. That's all there is to it. We've got this going on campuses. It started off the boycott and divest movement, and what it was creeping anti-Semitism and Nazism. Protesters say they want Ivy League schools to divest the stocks. It stocks funds endowments from companies. They say profit from Israel's violations of international law. You are not in the position to demand anything. Get your asses to your classes, and if you are from another country, get your ass back to your country. Get back to your third world hellhole and live in your Sharia bleep hole. Eric Adams, I'm horrified and disgusted with the anti-Semitism being spewed at and around the Columbia University campus, like the example of a young woman holding a sign with an arrow pointing to Jewish students stating, Al-Qassam's next targets, another where a woman is literally yelling, we are Hamas, or another where groups are chanting, we don't want no Zionists here, and I condemn this hate speech in its strongest forms. I don't care about your condemnation, Mayor. Send the damn police there, and Governor, send the damn National Guard there, and end this nonsense. Absolutely. Columbia Jewish alumni. The CGAA asserts that Columbia is now under mob rule. They continue, a mob, by the way, that is only interested in attention and chaos rather than thoughtful dialogue and reasoned debate. The Columbia Jewish Alumni Association penned a letter to Columbia President Nimak Manush Shafik on Friday warning that violence against Jewish students on campus is imminent. The letter highlighted unauthorized protests that they say are disrupting classes, creating an irrefutably unsafe environment for Jewish students. The letter then provided an example saying within the last 24 hours, for example, protesters assaulted an invited speaker and threatened Jewish students by shouting, "We know where you live." Immediately outside Columbia's gates, protesters shouted that October 7th would be every day for Jewish students. While on its lawn, protesters called for the destruction of Israel and equated the NYPD and IDF to the KKK. Get your asses to your classes or get out. End of discussion. Nonsense. Anti-Israel protesters Yale University tore down an American flag on Friday night as they occupied the campus in what Jewish students have called an act of intimidation against them and against the university. This is Kristallnacht. This is Kristallnacht. We had the Reichstag on January the 6th. Now we have Kristallnacht. An Orthodox rabbi who serves the Jewish community at Columbia University sent a message to Jewish students this weekend urging them to leave campus for their own safety. This is bull bleep. Numerous reports and videos have been shared of explicit taunts against Jews. Unmask them. Videotape them. Make them famous. If somebody is yelling with a face cover, grab the face cover off their stinking faces and expose them and make them famous. Ruin their lives. Go after them. This is unacceptable. I don't care. I don't care. I have no patience for this. That this has been allowed to happen in the United States of America is absolutely unacceptable, and it cannot continue to exist. Not at all. This is Professor Shai Davidi. I don't know the name, but a professor at Columbia talking about what's going on.
Last night, what you saw at Columbia University is open support for Hamas, holding signs saying, Al-Qassam Brigade, your next target, pointing at Jewish students. So here you have it. While U.S. citizens are being held hostage in Gaza by Hamas and by the Islamic Jihad, you have students at Columbia University and faculty at Columbia University who are cheering on Hamas. They are denied.
Unacceptable. It's not protected speech. It's violence. It's violence. We can fight this. We don't have to take this crap. I will go to the ends of the earth to protect the Jewish people, and I will not allow a Holocaust to happen on our grounds, and I will not allow my Jewish brothers and sisters to be intimidated no matter what they do in this country, like they were intimidated in Nazi Germany. It's not going to happen. No, it's not. Not one little bit. Let's go to Roger in Baltimore. Roger in Baltimore, welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's going on?
Hey, Rob. Love me some Rob Carson.
Thank you, bro.
Hey, Iran is no joke. Most of the people there do not support what the mullahs.
Yes.
And but they're backing Hamas.
I know.
And Hamas, you know, it covers what kids from the birth to whatever they're indoctrinated into a hatred of what the Jew.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. And the Jewish people are their half brothers. Anyway, Israel is not going to kill every man, woman, and child in Palestine, right?
No, of course not. But I'm going to tell you. Here's the thing: is the left and Hamas realizes that the attack that they committed on October the 7th girded and ignited the Jewish people to destroy Hamas once and for all. They see their end right now, and they're doing everything they can to stop that from happening. And and I'm glad that we had some at least some military aid passed for Israel so that Israel can destroy what is left of Hamas and wipe them off the face of the earth. There cannot ever be a two-state solution. They had a state, and they blew it. They had their own state, and they, instead of making a jewel in the desert, they made a crap hole of hate in the desert. And the left in this country sees their end, and that's why they're lashing out. That's why they're lashing out on campuses. This is all bought and paid for by Iran, by the way. This is all bought and paid for by Iran. It is a foreign counterintelligence insurgency on American campuses, and it has to end.
Right, but these Iranians, hey, Rob, they can take down commercial airlines pretty much anywhere in the world. It doesn't take a whole lot. Mm-hmm. It takes a Stinger missile. shoulder launch.
I realize that. I think it's time. It honestly is time for the world to be rid of radical Islam. And when Donald Trump is the president again, they're going to have to take the mullahs out of power in Iran. They're going to have to once and for all surgically strike Iran and help the good people of Iran to bring back freedom to their country. This was all quelled by Barack Obama. There was a green revolution happening in Iran. The good people of Iran were ready to overthrow the mullahs, and Barack Obama bought and paid for their downfall. I appreciate your phone call. I got to move on, bro. Let's move to, we're getting a lot of calls today. Monty in Montana. Monty in Montana, beautiful state. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's up, my friend?
Hey, Rob, last time I was back down where I live at, I went into my local prosecutor and I asked him, I said, hey, how come you're not doing anything about election interference or violations of rights under color of law? And my local, you know, he's the district attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like he is refusing to fight back, and all Republicans are just refusing to fight back. I mean, we've got 3,000 DAs in America. That's what Alvin Bragg is a local DA that's charging Trump with all these crappy nonsense. But what is not nonsense is election interference and violations of rights under color of law, which I believe Bragg, James, and Mershon are all guilty of. But I asked him, I said, hey, man, you need to sit a jury and you need to bring these charges in front of them and see what they say. Let's put these guys through the process like they're putting Trump through the process. But, you know, I never hear Judge Napolitano. I never hear Alan Dershowitz talking about violations of rights under color of law. I actually talked to Sheriff David Clark. This was 2 weeks before Trump was indicted. We had no idea this was coming down. And I said, hey, how come we're not going after these people for violations of rights under color of law? Because this was when Fannie Willis was doing her crap down in Georgia. And he told me, hey, we can't just go around arresting these people. Oh, so you can't arrest these crooked judges. You can't fight back against these DAs. But the former president of the United States can be in a dock right now, and they're talking about taking away his Secret Service protections. No. We can't fight back, Rob. But these guys can fight. So what I don't know which is more disgusting, the communists trying to take over this country or the Republicans who refuse to fight back. And, Rob, that's why I will never be a Republican, because you can fight against somebody who's in front of you, right? But you cannot fight against that snake in your back like Bill Barr. Like Bill Barr, like what's his name, Pence? You can't fight against those guys you think are your friends who are really just waiting to the correct moment to stab you in the back.
All right, bro, listen, I got to run. I get you. Here's what I'm saying. As far as the RNC is concerned, the RNC, there are still people in the Republican Party who are those hangers-on, and we've got to deal with them until November. And that includes Mike Johnson, and that includes Mitch McConnell. But we've got to stay focused on winning in November so we can go after all of these who've committed these abuses and usurpations against us, including those in the Republican Party. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. Hey, guys, it's Carson. Our money loses value every year due to inflation. In fact, the dollar has lost over 98% of its value relative to gold. What if you could earn income in gold, which can't get inflated away, instead of dollars? Monetary Metals does just that. They offer the ability to earn income in gold, growing your total ounces over time by leasing or loaning your gold to qualified gold-using businesses. Earn 2 to 5% annually on your gold while supporting qualified businesses in the gold industry. Or if you're an accredited investor, you could earn even higher yields, double digits, in their gold bond offerings. You can open an account directly on Monetary Metals' website in less than 15 minutes. Fund your account by purchasing gold directly from Monetary Metals at less than 1% over spot, or you can use gold you already have. They provide free shipping and insurance and free storage and insurance for any metal in your account. Opt out of the dollar, central bankers, fiat currency, the corrupt financial system, and get your own personal gold standard with Monetary Metals. Visit monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information. Again, monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information or to get started opening your account.
The place where DEI goes to DIE. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It's the Rob Carson Show. NBC polling. Here we go. As far as handling a crisis, Trump is up 4 points over Joe Biden. Strong economic record as president, Trump up by 7. Competitive and effective, Trump up by 9. Necessary mental and physical health, Trump up by 19. Dealing with inflation and the cost of living, Trump up by 22. That's why they're trying to take him down. That's why they literally, this court case in New York that starts today is the last dying gasp. This is why Benny Thompson has suggested that they take away Donald Trump's ability to have Secret Service protection and put him in jail, because they're getting to the point where they will resort to killing him. I'm just going to be honest about it. They fantasize about it. They say it, and now they just said it out loud, didn't they? Yeah, they just said it out loud. We're not going to let that happen, are we? Nope, nope, nope. Are you an Alice? Experts sound the alarming over a concerning financial trend. This is according to the UK Daily Mail. And Alice does not qualify for government aid, but cannot cover daily costs. 29% of U.S. households are Alice. Yeah. An Alice is an asset-limited, income-constrained employed. Someone who makes enough money at their job to disqualify them for government assistance, but struggles to cover daily expenses. A lot of our military members are Alices, by the way. The term was coined by the nonprofit United Way, and it's United for Alice program. I do not like the United Way, by the way. It classifies Alices as Americans who make more money than the federal poverty level of $15,000 for an individual, $31,000 for a family of four, not able to make ends meet. About 29% of us are. Many Alices are workers whose salary is not enough to cover your basic needs, meaning they could be forced to sacrifice health care in order to cover rent payments, for example. There's a lot of Americans going through that. I know that. That's why the largest retail sector that's growing right now is Dollar General stores. People are buying their groceries at Dollar. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than working 60 hours a week and not being able to pay the bills. It's agonizing. It's frustrating. It's terrible. I've been there. I had to sell my dad's retirement ring and my high school class ring and the silver goblets that my wife's parents gave each other for their wedding to pay the rent just a few years ago. It's agonizing. But you know what? Federal government cares more about Ukraine than they do about us. Listen to this. This is after the Ukraine vote. In case you didn't hear, aid for Ukraine, aid for Israel, aid for Taiwan approved Saturday morning. Democrat Party, they had Ukrainian flags. They were waving Ukrainian flags while you're suffering. Like I just said, 29% of us don't even have enough to pay our bills. We got an open southern border, and they're waving a Ukrainian flag. And listen to this jackweed, Gerald Connolly. Listen to what he had to say. This is a fine example. I tell you, the government likes to create problems, create a mess, and rub your face in it. Listen to this, what he said.
Some say, well, we have to deal with our border first. The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border. It's the border between depraved autocracy and freedom-loving people seeking our democratic way of life.
What about our southern border? What about who's coming across our southern border? Listen to this. This needs to be the campaign ad that drives bastards like this out of office.
Some say, well, we have to deal with our border first. The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border.
Wow.
It's the border between depraved autocracy and freedom-loving people seeking our democratic way.
You are in favor of depraved autocracy. You're the ones, your party is the ones that took away our First Amendment rights and our ability to criticize COVID protocols and the southern border and on and January the 6th and the election of 2020 and the Russia collusion hoax and Hunter Biden's laptop.
Way of life. Do we have a stake in that outcome? Yes. Undeniably, yes. Will we rise to the occasion? Will we stand shoulder to shoulder with a Ukrainian brothers and sisters who for 1,000...
Why aren't you talking about our Israeli brothers and sisters?
151 days have been holding off the depraved, thuggish dictator Vladimir Putin.
Wow. I got to tell you, my Lord in heaven. Yeah. We have a bourgeois, we have a proletariat. We have a Bastille. Unbelievable. And then they were waving Ukrainian flags. Wow. I got to tell you. I don't have time to play it now. Matt Gaetz had some interesting thoughts. And as far as vacating the speaker position, I'm afraid it's probably not going to happen. And Matt Gaetz will explain why it shouldn't happen. I know that really ticks you off. It ticks me off. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Democrat Party can do a lot of very demonic things if they decide to take over the House. And trust me, they've already got it all lined up. They know exactly what they're going to do. One of the things, take away Donald Trump's Secret Service protection. Get him jailed, take away his Secret Service protection. That's one of the demonic things that the Democrat Party will do. That is one of the things that they will do. And they cannot have they cannot take over power in the House before November. And so as much as I hate to say it, Mike Johnson, even though he promised that the border was the most important thing to him for the last, since his speakership and before his speakership, he said our border was the most important thing. And it does appear that Mike Johnson was either bribed or threatened in some fashion, but he changed his vote. And guess what? Most probably we have to deal with it. We will play that audio very shortly. And then Tucker Carlson had some thoughts about why Republicans are doing this to us. And it's because they're afraid of the CIA and the intelligence community. But Joe DiGenova joins us next to talk about this case in New York City against Donald Trump. This, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show. It is Rob Carson Joe Monday edition, and we have been, we're very fortunate, by the way, because I know he is in high demand. Joe DiGenova joins us on the Newsmax hotline. He joined us last Friday, and it was a real pleasure to have him on, and we are very fortunate to have you again this morning. Welcome to the show, Joe. So glad that you could find the time for us today to talk about this latest affront to the judicial process in America, this trial in New York City. So they are starting opening arguments today. They've got the jury and the alternates ready. What are your thoughts on this first day of this trial against Donald Trump?
Well, it's just a sad day in American history. 250 years of tradition and honorable recognition by both parties have been thrown out the window by the Democrats, all in an effort to destroy Donald Trump, to prevent him from running president, to prevent him from being president. And the courtroom drama is almost an irrelevancy at this point. I expect him to be convicted. It's a New York jury. I think all of this commentary about how these people can be fair is utter nonsense. 50% of the jurors were so blatantly hating Trump that they honestly admitted it. The others, I think, have kept secrets. I think people lied to get on this jury because they want to be, quote, part of history, end quote. So I'm not satisfied with anything. And Trump will be victorious, however, in the long run. I think even if he's convicted, which I expect him to be, I think he's going to be the victor in the long run.
Well, I think he already is right now. I think, if anything, he is actually faring better than had he been on the campaign trail. His campaign trail crowds are a give me, right? The fact that people show up by the tens of thousands to see him are a gimme. I think that this is more powerful than just being on the campaign trail. I would rather have him on the campaign trail, don't get me wrong, Joe DiGenova, but I will tell you, I think it's doing more damage to Joe Biden to have Donald Trump in the courtroom. It is girding the forces that support Donald Trump, and it is also building the number of people coming to the Trump campaign recognizing this abuse of the judicial system.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I I think that he grows stronger with each passing day. And I think people expect there to be a conviction. So I think that's already been factored in to the public notion about him. And the duplicity with which this has all been approached, and the lying by the administration and all those involved in these proceedings on behalf of the Democrats, shows how frightened they are of what they have unleashed. It's almost like a Frankenstein monster that they've created, and they can't control it any longer. And it's going to turn on them, we hope. We hope with deep conviction that it will turn on them. But it's ugly, it's un-American, it's duplicitous. It's everything that's wrong with the legal system, and they're slowly but surely destroying the rule of law, and it is they who are the threat to democracy. I was fascinated to see Bill Barr over the weekend, who has fought with Trump hammer and tongs, say he's going to vote for Trump because Joe Biden is the real threat to democracy. That was quite a moment.
Yes. Well, Joe, he actually helped to ring this in. He knew that the Hunter Biden laptop was for real. He knew that the 51 intel agents were lying, and he's trying to get on the right side of history. That's what I think of Bill Barr. He's trying to get on the right side of history, because I think a lot of people are going to be held accountable for all of this abuse when Donald Trump becomes the president of the United States. I want to mention this, Joe DeGeneva. Democrat Benny Thompson proposes a bill to strip Donald Trump of Secret Service protection if convicted and sentenced to jail. This sounds like the last dying gasp of their attempt to prevent Donald Trump from becoming the president, that they want to have him jailed. It relies on this case. And if, in fact, that is the case, this is a veiled assassination threat. What are your thoughts?
First of all, I agree with you 100%. The notion that a member of Congress would strip from a former president, no matter what he is alleged to have done, of the protections of the Secret Service, which are required by law, is only for one reason. And that is, they know that if a president is sentenced to a prison term or a jail term or whatever, even for contempt of court, the Secret Service is with him 24 hours a day. By law, they must be. They attend him. And therefore, the Democrats who introduced this bill, and this is this moron, Benny Thompson, who was the chairman of the January 6th committee, a total idiot. He can barely construct a compound sentence. I mean, this guy, this is not only vindictiveness, this is dangerous.
It's evil.
Invitation to an assassination. And it's a clear request that there be an assassination.
This, what are the possibilities of Donald Trump being put in jail? What do you think is the possibility, and what would be the repercussions?
Well, I think Juan Merchan would like to put him in jail.
Of course.
I don't think he's going to put him in jail for any contempt violations. But if he's convicted, I think Juan Merchan is going to put him in jail. He's going to try to. And then, of course, then it will be up to the Court of Appeals. The repercussions of putting Trump in jail are unknowable at this point.
Of course.
But I think for the country, I think it would be a cataclysmic moment. I think it would be a destruction of the rule of law even further, if that is even possible at this point. And I think it would set in motion a public discourse that would be quite ugly. But that doesn't seem to bother the Democrats. The Democrats seem to think that no matter how bad it gets in the country, how ugly it gets, and how vicious the temperament of the country, that's all for the good as long as they can stay in power. This is a sickness among Democrats. And it shows the kind of evil sense of, remember, these are the good government people, so-called. We've been told all our lives that the Democrats believe in good government. They believe in vicious government, in vindictive government, in retributive government. That's the kind of government they believe in.
Let me ask you about this. Trump's $175 million bond should be rejected in the fraud trial. Letitia James refuses to let this go. She's going to, she wants to go after Trump properties. What do you think about this latest affront after trying to get a half a billion dollars and then getting $175 million to get Donald Trump just the right to be able to appeal a corrupt judgment?
Well, the judge in that case just ruled a few minutes ago that the bond is fine.
Okay.
He added a couple of conditions, which I haven't been able to get my hands on, but he denied the request of Letitia James to set aside the bond. He said the bond was fine and added, again, a couple of conditions. But I think I expected him to do that in light of what the Court of Appeals had done, which had rebuked him, in essence, by cutting back the amount of the bond. I think that what Letitia James did was, once the Court of Appeals ruled, she's so ugly as a lawyer and a public official that she just couldn't wait for the next opportunity to try to take something out of Donald Trump's hide. She is really giving prosecutors a very bad name, most of whom in this country do a pretty good job, except for the George Soroses of this world, which, of course, she is one, if not directly, then indirectly. But this was another example of her vindictiveness.
Yes. Let me ask you this, not related to the Trump trial, but we now know that on university campuses, anti-Semitism, the threatening of Jewish students, to the point that at the beginning of Passover at Columbia University, Jewish students are told not to go to class. This is not protected speech, Joe DeGeneva. What has to happen to prevent what I would consider right now on Columbia and Yale and other universities is Kristallnacht 2024? What has to happen at these universities?
Well, I think, first of all, the universities have to expel any of these people that are students involved in this anti-Semitic behavior, in the threats that are being made to students. That is grounds for expulsion, not for suspension. They should be expelled from the university. In addition, the New York City Police Department should be investigating these threats under hate crime laws in New York State. So should the Attorney General, but she won't do it because she probably is an anti-Semite deep down inside.
Yes.
And so I think what's going to go on here is there's going to be very, very little accountability. After watching the president of Columbia University testify on Capitol Hill, I feel sorry for the entire Columbia University, everyone there, because she is a class A idiot. Watching her testify, that was an embarrassment to academia, although, again, academia seems to be not embarrassed by very much. But I think there needs to be a civil rights investigation out of the Justice Department. Don't hold your breath. We need a new president. It's very simple.
What would you recommend if and when Donald Trump is the president with regard to looking at the DOJ, looking at the FBI, looking at not only national prosecutions, but also state and local? What would you recommend for reimagining or at least taking our justice system back to its core roots and rooting out this evil partisanship?
Well, the first thing you do is you fire Christopher Wray. You have to get rid of the FBI director on Inauguration Day. Then you have to install people in there. You have to find a bunch of conservative Republican lawyers, install them at the FBI. He has the power to make them assistant directors and legal counsel on Inauguration Day. Do the same thing at DOJ. There are a number of good, solid people inside those organizations who could be promoted. And there are FBI agents and former FBI agents, organizations who know who those good people are inside the FBI. The same thing is true of the Justice Department. And after that, you reorganize the Justice Department. He has to have a very fine attorney general, someone who's very mature, who's been around, who knows that place very, very well, and would be able to take charge of it and then reorganize it. And there's just going to have to be I wouldn't call it a bloodbath, because no one would ever want to say that. But there's going to have to be a civil service bloodbath, in the sense that people who have already said publicly, as we've seen from this various union people, that they are going to subvert a new Trump president if he is elected. That in my mind is subversion. And those people should be fired. They should be found out. Anybody who tries to obstruct the new president's policies should be, if they don't want to fire them, they can put them in a room and give them nothing to do.
Amen. All right, Joe DeGeneva, I really appreciate your time today, and we hope to have you on again soon. Thanks for making the time for us today. God bless you, and Godspeed.
You bet, Rob. Thank you.
All right, let's take a break. It's the Rob Carson Show. Stay strong, stay focused. Focused as the founders. No matter what we go through, we've got to defend our own. We've got to defend the United States was founded. We have to defend the Jewish people. We have to defend our Jewish brothers and sisters as well. This is Matt Gaetz talking this weekend about the vote for Ukrainian aid while ignoring our southern border. Mike Johnson turning tail and running, voting with Democrats.
But here is what I regret to inform you. I do believe in a one-seat majority. There could be one or two or three of my colleagues who would take a bribe in one form or another in order to deprive the Republicans of a majority at all. And let me tell you what a Democrat speaker looks like.
Listen.
Their leadoff hitter will be declaring Donald Trump an insurrectionist and setting up a barrier to him being able to become the president of the United States if he is lawfully and legally elected, as I expect he will be. That'll be their leadoff hitter. And then the chaser to that shot will be a massive spending package that looks a lot more like the American Rescue Plan. They will blow past every concept of every cap ever imagined. You'll be looking at universal basic income. You could be looking at packing the Supreme Court. And so the risk that one or two of my corrupt Republican colleagues might take a bribe, take a walk, feign an ailment, and flip this thing to the Democrats is a risk that is too high for me at this time. But
there you go. So for those of you talking about vacating the chair, probably not a good idea right now. I know, it sucks. It's unbelievable. We are so, our Republican Party is so limp-wristed and pathetic. They won't even defend the American people when they are screaming to close the damn southern border. I got to tell you. I got to tell you, it's so sickening. This is Mike Johnson defending the Ukrainian spending with Greta Van Susteren on Friday on Newsmax.
We have the Israel component, the Ukraine component, the Indo-Pacific component, and then we have a fourth bill that is in this package that has a lot of our innovations included, like the Repo Act, where we use the seized assets of corrupt Russian oligarchs to fund the opposition in Ukraine. Everybody thinks that makes sense. President Trump is credited with really advancing this idea of the loan concept, to your point. And so what we've done is we say any of the funding that goes to Ukraine for this governmental assistance is in the form of a loan. That's in our package that the House will be voting on.
You're putting lipstick on a pig.
Early Saturday. The rule is being finished up tonight to make that possible. We've also included a lot of other things, like increasing sanctions against Iran and Russia. We're going to change the strategy and have a lot more.
Why is the southern border not closed?
Oversight and accountability over the funds, because that's what the American people deserve. But as I've said so many times in the last 24 hours, you know, I'd rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys. We don't want to have boots on the ground. We can prevent that by allowing them to hold Putin at bay. And I think, Greta, very frankly, that Donald Trump, when he's elected, I think he can broker a peace over.
Of course he will. We could do it right now if we had the right leader in the White House, but we don't. We don't. We have a sociopath dementia patient in the White House, and we have a Democrat Party that's bedding down with the ideologies of Stalin, Mao, and Hitler. There you go. That's what we got. And I'm not being pejorative. It's absolutely true. Just pay attention to the signs, for God's sake in heaven. Just pay attention, will ya? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This is Tucker Carlson talking to Joe Rogan about why people like Mike Johnson will sell out their principles for spending packages.
Members of Congress are terrified of the intel agencies. I'm not guessing at that. They've told me that, including people on the intel committee, including people who run the intel committee, the people whose job it is to...
Remember those 15 former intel agents who lied about Hunter Biden's laptop? They'll do anything.
Oversee and keep in line these enormous secretive agencies whose budgets we can't even know. They're black budgets. They're the parents. The agencies are the children. They're afraid of the agencies. That's not compatible with democracy. Whenever you have unelected people who are not accountable to anyone making the biggest decisions, you don't have a democracy. You have something else, another system. I would call it a tyranny or whatever you want to call it. It's not.
Yeah, there you go. So a lot of the reasons why these politicians turn is because they are terrified of what the intel community is going to do to them, and chances are they've already been threatened. Yeah, don't believe me? Ask Chuck Schumer. You know, Donald Trump, he had the intel community sicked on him. Russia collusion hoax, that was put together by John Brennan, ex-CIA director, and incorporated by the CIA.
He's taking these shots, this antagonism. Yep.
He's talking to Rachel Maddow.
Taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
Yeah.
So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them. Let me tell
taunting
you,
hostility.
Whether you're a super liberal Democrat or a very conservative Republican, you should be against dismantling the intelligence community.
Yeah. And the intelligence community and the FBI and the DOJ and the CDC and the HHS and the IRS, they all are fighting against the re-election of Donald Trump. They are doing everything they can to take him down. The DOJ at the highest level, starting with Christopher Wray, starting with Merrick Garland, they're the ones who are commanding all of these indictments of Donald Trump. The most recent is the one that's going on in New York. And it ain't going to work. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. All right, last hour of the show. Title IX now applies to people with penises. Uncle Bozy update, he's still dead. New York is scrapping its offshore windmill dream, and a Democrat talks about the lawfare that has made her a Trump supporter. That's coming up. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. You know, everybody knows the next medical crisis just around the corner, whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where the Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID, even a bioweapon like a plague, the Wellness Company medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, antiparasitics on hand to make sure you and your family are safe from whatever the globalists throw at us next. Go to www.twc.health/Carson. Again, twc.health/Carson today and order. That's twc.health/Carson and use the promo code Carson to save 10%.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
It is The Rob Carson Show, Monday edition. I hope you had a nice weekend. I had a nice weekend, other than having to breathe drywall dust. Had a massive allergy attack. My house is now post-apocalyptic. I say that because all the posts that hold up the kitchen and whatnot are gone. And we're opening up the upstairs. That's why I'm broadcasting from the studios of Bot Radio, because I have somebody working and on the home. My wife and I have invested some money to finally have a kitchen that doesn't stink. I've had a terrible kitchen for a very long time. And so we're doing that. And I've gotten to know some of the workers who are working on our house, and several of them are Hispanic, right? And had some delightful conversations using Google Translate to kind of understand their stories. I always say when I travel, when I go to New York, the most interesting conversations I have are with the people who drive me to and from the airport. And I've had a very delightful conversation with the men who are doing the house. Alberto from Guatemala is working on the house. And living the American dream. It's interesting because I had a conversation with a man who has worked with all of them. He just stopped by the house because he knew they were working there. He's a guy who's born in America. His parents are from, I believe, is from Guatemala as well. And he has just stopped by to see the young men who he worked with before he retired and talked to him about, for instance, the main guy who's running the whole operation. Is a guy who is Hispanic, but he also speaks English fluently. And the two guys on the crew, including Alberto, who I just talked about, did not speak English. And I said, you know, a lot of times we've been told that if we tell someone they speak English well, that somehow that's racist. It's just stupid. And I asked him, I said, you know, you speak English well, you're able to communicate with me. And I wanted my theory proven correct, because years ago I had another group of people working on a house. And again, you know, a lot of the Hispanic guys, they do a lot of the heavy lifting, drywalling, the roofing and whatnot. And the guy who, he says, well, first of all, sometimes it's hard. White guys don't want to work like the Hispanic guys do. That's what he said. I said, well, you maybe got the wrong white guys, because you know what? I grew up doing this stuff. I worked in fields. I worked in construction and bridge crews. I busted my butt, and I worked with a lot of my brown brothers and sisters. And I told them, when I was growing up, the coveted job for people in my hometown was working at the packing plant, because it was a union job, and you got more money than most did, and we loved it. But anyway, I talked to him. I said, you know, I worked with another guy, and I said, he took me outside the house, and I said, you speak English very well. And he took me outside the house. He showed me the new F-350 that he was driving. And he said, the guy who speaks Spanish, or the guy who speaks English, the guy who don't speak English drive the truck. The guy who speaks English owns the truck. And I had that reiterated this weekend. You know, learn the language and be successful. But you know what I heard in all of those men, all of those guys, regardless of whether they spoke English or not? Believing in the American dream. Believing that the harder they work, the more successful they will be. Believing that you get to work early and you stay late and you get the job done. And the guys who were working on my house, they don't mess around. They don't mess around. They have a lunch break, and they come right back to it, and they don't quit until they're done. And when they're done, they clean up and they leave the house and they say thank you. And they're really amazing. And they believe in the American dream. That's why they're here. The people who are coming across the southern border right now, many of them do not believe in the American dream. They hate America. They think America, even though they aren't from here, owes them something for their situation and the hell that their leaders have made their country into. And so I enjoyed talking to these men who still believe in the American dream and are willing to come in and bust their butts. They're not lazy. And I even talked to some of the guys, Alberto. I said, what do you think about Democrats when they say that the only thing that Hispanics can do when they come across the border is pick lettuce and have a leaf blower on their back? And he was angry about it. He goes, no, you know what? I do this because I have to do this. But I have a dream. Someday I'm going to have that truck. Someday I'm going to be the boss. The Democrat Party doesn't think that about brown people crossing the southern border. All they say are people there who are going to pick lettuce and do the menial labor they won't do. It's remarkable. So one of my videos I put up this weekend, I put it up with Spanish subtitles. Because the problem that's coming across the southern border is not hardworking people who are brown people coming across the southern border to work. The problem is people who are coming across the border to take advantage of us, like Venezuelan gang members and Chinese nationals and all of that. So I thought I would share that reconnaissance, because I always take the opportunity to learn when I can. And when I see people who bust their butts, I want to hear what drives them. And I know that the American dream is alive in those who come here to work hard and don't come here illegally, because they were invited because the Democrat Party wants them to vote for them. What else happened this weekend? I finished watching the first season of Fallout. It's just good. I mean, it's just good TV. I had the chance to normally, and I wouldn't do this otherwise, because I spent a lot of the time focused on this show and informing you and on my television show. But my son and my daughter were here this weekend, and so we watched some good TV. We watched Fallout. The main guy is Walter Coggins. He's the actor who plays this ghoul. He's a ghoul, right? And I said he is Jonah Hex meets William Money from The Unforgiven meets Red Skull from Captain America. And his performance in the show is amazing. It's a really good show. There's good television being made if you can take the time to break from politics and watch it. So I did I did watch that with my son this weekend. And I watched Late Night with the Devil, finally. The movie Late Night with the Devil. I was fascinated because it was kind of a documentary kind of feel to it. A guy who was competing with Johnny Carson, desperate for ratings, decides to put on this girl who has supposedly been possessed by demons, and it was a really good movie. It was a very good movie. I got to watch that this weekend. I took a little break from the nonsense that's going on in the country, including this trial of Donald Trump in New York City that is kicked off today. I also want to mention Jim Gossett had a very successful show in Atlanta over the weekend. He said he did 2 hours on stage. It was a sold-out show. He said the venue said, we want to rebook immediately. He's going to be on stage at the same venue on June 15th, and I'm going to try to make it to Atlanta to be there for that show. So Jim had a very, very awesome show in Atlanta. And again, the venue was like, holy crap, we want you back. So June 15th, Jim Gossett returns to that venue. And speaking of Jim Gossett, he created a new anthem for us, for those who want to save the country, for those who are sick and tired of the direction of the country, are sick and tired of the southern border and all of the destruction and death that it's caused, are sick and tired of the politicians that would not impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, are sick and tired of the politicians who will send billions of dollars outside of our country while ignoring the suffering of Americans, are sick and tired of the COVID nonsense we went through and want people to be held account for it. Sick and tired of the indictments of Donald Trump for political reasons, Jim Gossett came up with this.
Mine eyes have seen America descending into hell when they rigged a big election and a scent you could not tell. They persecute Donald Trump, and Biden is not well. We all have had enough. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Democrats and rhinos fool ya. Glory, glory, hallelujah. We've all been spat upon. Remember back in 23, we gave Kevin the axe. So we made Mike Johnson speaker, and he stabbed us in the backs. Now he's bedded down with despots. Credibility he lacks. Hey, Mike, time to move on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Don't want Biden in there, do ya? Glory, glory, hallelujah. Joe Biden, he must be gone.
We were voting for aid for everybody but the American people. Lahaina in Hawaii, wildfire survivors are homeless and living in a beach encampment 8 months after the deadliest blaze ripped through Maui. Yeah, did you hear that? Yeah. A shabby row of tents has sprung up. They are occupied, largely ignored by the bikini-clad tourists strolling by. Survivors of the Lahaina wildfire that ripped through the small Maui town last August, claiming 101 lives, making it the worst natural disaster in Hawaiian history. Most of the tent owners lost everything they owned to the blaze, and they have ended up living on the beach, being kicked out of temporary hotel housing they were given immediately after the fire. Yeah. So a fire victim like Kailoni Kawa, 64, who works at the airport, has ended up living in a tent in the parking lot of a park after losing her home and most of her possessions. Her house is now a large blue tent. While bathing comes courtesy of a nearby beach shower, drinking water with a leaky bucket set up close to her tent. She said she was booted from her temporary accommodation at a hotel 3 months ago and has received little help beyond what she gets from her church. That's your American government, people. Lahaina, welcome to East Palestine. welcome to anywhere in the United States, America. The United States government does not care about you. We have to take care of one another, and we're going to get through it. Let's take a break and come back, my friends. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Somebody call a plumber. It's time to drain the swamp. It's the Rob Carson Show.
So, you know, Joe Biden tried to mimic Donald Trump going into a Chick-fil-A. Joe Biden went into a Sheetz convenience store in a prepared and scripted appearance where he tipped the cashier at Sheetz. Yeah, right off the bat. Just tipped the cashier like everybody does that because he's never been in a Sheetz, by the way. He's full of Sheetz. But anyway, he goes in there. You know, Sheetz is a great a bunch of convenience stores, truck stops on the East Coast predominantly. I love me some Sheetz, by the way. But the Biden administration has filed a lawsuit against Sheetz alleging discriminatory hiring practices. You know why? Because Sheetz requires all applicants to pass a criminal background check. And Joe Biden thinks that all black people, Native Americans, and people of multiple races are criminals. Yeah, yeah, that's what it's saying, basically, saying that it disproportionately affects black, Native American, and multiracial job seekers. So when Joe Biden tries to be not racist, he's super-duper racist. Here is a report from WTAJ Television about the Biden administration going to his Sheetz and then immediately sicking the EEOC on Sheetz.
The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is suing Sheetz for racially discriminatory hiring practices. According to the lawsuit, Sheetz has maintained a longstanding practice of screening all job applicants for records of criminal conviction and then denying them employment based on those records.
Yeah, because you don't want criminals working for you.
The EEOC says that Sheetz hiring practices disproportionately screened out black Native American.
Nope, it's only discriminatory against those who have criminal records.
And Alaska Native and multiracial applicants.
Yeah, okay, so if a white guy comes in and he has a criminal record and is denied, how is that racist? This is your Biden administration. Unbelievable. Did you hear about Bill Maher over the weekend? He's finally admitting everything we know, which is that pedophiles are running rampant over America. We have a southern border that's open. We have 85,000 children who have just disappeared. There is a massive hunger for child pornography in this country. It's sickening. And there is a massive, massive trafficking business in our country. I know that. Just up the street from my house, there's one of those Asian spas, right? And only guys go in there, and usually it's in the evening. They walk in with their bill caps over their faces because we know what they're there for, and we know who they're there for. Chinese mafia involved in trafficking children, underage people, to work in those hellholes and to work off their debt getting across the southern border by selling them into sex trafficking. And then Hollywood is infested with it. I used to watch Nickelodeon with my kids, Drake and Josh. I didn't even realize that Drake was molested by one of the show's producers for years. And Disney is also loaded with pedophiles as well. And here's, Bill Maher. He finally has a come to Jesus moment. And I'm not, listen, I'm glad he's doing it. But it's about damn time. Here is Bill Maher on Nickelodeon and Disney's pedophile connection.
Have you all been watching the Max documentary called Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV? OMG. Nickelodeon, it wasn't a studio, it was Neverland Ranch with Craft Services. It must be pointed out that when the evil governor of Florida was saying the exact same thing about kids and creepy stuff at Disney that liberals now find intolerable at Nickelodeon, he was dismissed as a hick and a bigot. Why would a kids' content factory like Disney be all that different than the one at Nickelodeon?
Yeah. Here is Bill Maher talking about where the pedos.
A 2014
go.
CNN report discovered that at least 35 Disney employees had been arrested for sex crimes against children, and in 2021, Disney Child star Alison Stoner confessed she only narrowly survived the toddler to train wreck pipeline. The next year, Child star Cole Sprouse told the New York Times that young actresses at the Disney Channel were heavily sexualized from an early age. You know, Willie Sutton said he robbed banks because that's where the money is. And the reason we find pedophiles in the Boy Scouts and the Rectory and Kids TV is that's where the kids are.
I have been an advocate for fostering and adopting children, and I have known for over 30 years that's where pedophiles go. They aren't the perverts standing outside the school yard wearing a trench coat. They are coaches. They are priests. They are other clergy. They are scout leaders, etc. And then there are parents who are down this with the pornification of
and
culture.
Not just Hollywood. There are Instagram moms these days who are practically only fansing their itty bitty beauty queen daughters by having them wear skimpy bikinis and eat bananas to build social media stardom. They're called sharenters, wow. A hybrid of sharing and parent. I call them pimps, a hybrid of pimp and
we got to protect our kids at all costs. But here's the thing that's surprising a lot of people. You and I have been talking about Drag Queen Story Hour and how drag queens ought to stay at their drag shows where adults can go pay to see a bawdy clown show and not allow this crap in your kids' library, reading porn and having porn in your kids' library. And we've been called, you know, homophobes and transphobes and all of that, and book burners and all that crap. Listen to Bill Maher on Drag Queen Story Hour.
Now, hurry up and get in the car. We're late for Drag Queen Story Hour. Not that there's anything wrong with being a drag queen, but maybe it's time to admit that sometimes Drag Queen Story Hour is more for the queen than the kids.
Yep.
And when I see a five-year-old tipping at a bar under a sign that says it's not going to lick itself, do I have to pretend that's cool in order to keep my liberal ID card? Sorry, I can't do that. If you want kids to be more tolerant, why not have handicapped people read them stories? Kids are more likely to encounter disabled people than drag queens in life.
Yeah, exactly. All of the things that we have suspected have been right. It just takes a while for people like Bill Maher to finally pull his head out of his rear end. We've got a little bit more from Bill Maher on the other side of the break. And also, New York is scrapping most of its offshore wind projects. You know why? Because they're a joke. They're not economically viable. And they're killing sea life. This, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show.
Not that there's anything wrong with being a drag queen, but maybe it's time to admit that sometimes Drag Queen Story Hour is more for the queen than the kids. And when I see a five-year-old tipping at a bar under a sign that says it's not going to lick itself, do I have to pretend that's cool in order to keep my liberal ID card? Sorry, I can't do that. If you want kids to be more tolerant, why not have handicapped people read them stories? Kids are more likely to encounter disabled people than drag queens. And
it takes a while, but eventually Bill Maher shows some common sense. That's the thing that's going to save the country, is a return to common sense from nonsense. Here is Bill Maher talking about entrapping children into our beliefs. And by the way, this all of this madness, all of this insanity with regard to our children, all of this madness with the southern border, all of this DEI madness, the CRT madness, is all intentional. It's meant to break the bonds that bring us together. And you know what? They've made them stronger. They've made us all believe we need to defend our children. We need to defend the Jewish people and Israelis. We need to defend Israel. We need to defend the country as founded. We're all coming together to do this. Homeboys, hillbillies, Hebrews, all coming together to save the country. But here is Bill Maher talking about entrapping our children into our beliefs.
Gullible morons who'll believe anything and just want to please grown-ups.
He's talking about children.
And they don't have any frame of reference. So they normalize whatever's happening. That's why endlessly talking about gender to six-year-olds isn't just inappropriate. It's what the law would call entrapment, which means enticing people into doing something they wouldn't ordinarily do.
And it's also called grooming.
You think that some of that isn't going on with gender in schools? You're not watching enough TikTok videos.
I pledge allegiance to the queers.
I'm not allowed to be out as trans non-binary at school. So my response to this is to be as obnoxiously queer as possible.
I never used the phrase gay agenda because I thought it was mostly nonsense. And it is, mostly. But a director for Disney Television Animation did say after she was hired,
the showrunners were super welcoming to, like, my, like, not at all secret gay agenda. Like, I was just, wherever I could, just basically adding queerness. No one would stop me, and no one was trying to stop me.
Yeah. And they've, if you said anything about it, you were told that you were homophobic and transphobic. And if you said anything about the 2020 election, you were a denier. And if you said anything about you thinking climate change was bullcrap, you're a denier. And if you said anything about, Russia collusion hoax or Hunter Biden's laptop, you were a conspiracy theorist. You see what they do? Shut down any dissent. Dissent is not disinformation. Hey, guess where this is? You're probably going to think, I don't know, maybe in Gaza. Here you go. Listen to this. Memphis. That was Memphis. That was in Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah. Yeah. Where I live, Kansas City, six-year-old boy left fighting for his life at a Kansas City hospital after he was struck by a bullet while playing outside on a sunny evening. Where's the Democrat Party? Oh, they want to go after high-capacity magazines and weapons of war, which aren't used in these, because they know that the only weapons we can defend ourselves against a overzealous government, which we have right now, are weapons of war, not the guns that are being used to kill children and to the Democrat Party, disposable children, because they're black kids. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Home surveillance shows children tossing a basketball, shouting gleefully on a block near Central High School Wednesday, but their shouts turned into screams of terror as a barrage of gunfire rang out. Parents were seen reaching for their children as they scattered. A little girl was seen hoisting a toddler in her arms before running into the house. Yeah. Wednesday's shooting comes at the heels of February's Kansas City Chiefs parade shooting, which claimed the lives of a radio presenter, Lisa Lopez Galvin. 21 people were children. 11 children. 11 of them were children. Nobody cares. 2 dead, 14 wounded in that Memphis block party. Yeah, that's all that shooting we just heard. But don't worry, they were just black people. The Democrat Party, that's why they're not talking about it today. They're just black people. You know, we don't need the black people anymore. We got people coming across the southern border who are going to take care of those votes that we would have otherwise gotten from black Americans. Yeah. Yeah. The Democrat Party has already broken up with you. You just don't know it yet. They didn't even bother to text you. They're ghosting you. The Democrat Party is ghosting you if you're black. The Democrat Party is ghosting you if you're a woman. The Democrat Party is ghosting you if you're a Hispanic. The Democrat Party is ghosting you if you're a union member. You don't even know you've been broken up with. They're not serving you. They're not doing anything for you. They're passing massive spending bills so other countries can wage wars. But they're not helping us with our war on our southern border. No. They don't care. And when 14 are wounded and 2 are dead in Memphis, if they're black kids, nobody in the Democrat Party cares. Memphis had its highest crime rate in history in 2023. With 2022 data, Memphis had the highest violent crime rate in the country, including 397 murders. Many in the state are convinced that the left-wing bail reform is the reason why crime has skyrocketed throughout the state. Meanwhile, in Chicago, this is a pretty good interview. Lawrence Jones, he's on Fox. I had a chance to meet Lawrence Jones a couple years ago. He's an outstanding individual. And he did an interview with P. Ray Easley in Chicago, talking about Mayor Brandon Johnson and how the Mayor Brandon Johnson and Mayor Eric Adams and a lot of Republicans or Democrats are able to come up with all sorts of money for illegals coming across the southern border, but could give a crap less about the people who live there. I want you to listen to this conversation, P. Ray Easley, and how the tide is turning against Democrats and what Democrats have done to people of color for decades. There it is.
The most disrespectful thing we've ever encountered in our lives. We've been paying property taxes in this city for generations, and to see them so openly give our money to people who don't deserve it is very insulting.
You know, P.R.A., when I went to Chicago a few months ago, there were schools that were boarded up, and they said they didn't have any money to fund those.
They've broken up with you. You just don't know it.
Schools.
Correct.
But conveniently, they found a way to open them up for the migrants to take refuge.
Correct. And those are not migrants. Those are illegal immigrants.
You're
our
right.
Grandparents are migrants who left the South to come to Chicago, and we can't mix ourselves up with them. But to that point, it's extremely insulting. They've been telling us my entire life that they don't have money for this, they don't have money for that. We have to compromise. We must go without. But now we're seeing that they're able to.
Are you about tired of your kids in inner cities graduating without being able to read or do math in a school that is as well-funded as any in the world and failing utterly? Aren't you a little bit tired of that? Are you tired of Soros DAs allowing people to get out of jail without bail and commit more crimes and commit more murder? You about tired of that?
Print money out of the clear blue sky, and we want to know why wasn't our tax money given to us?
You know, this is also, Pierre, a mayor that has prided himself on being a man of the people. Is he listening to the people?
I don't think that he necessarily is. They, meaning him and his progressive allies, came in with a very strict agenda that they're following to the T. But to that point, I want to thank our mayor for uniting the city in a way that we haven't seen since the 96 Bulls, and that's against him and this progressive agenda.
Boom. That's the good news. That's the good news. People of color are recognizing what the Democrat Party has done to them. That's why I say hillbillies and homeboys and Hebrews coming together to save the country. Absolutely 100%. People are done with it. People understand it. The Democrats have officially let the cat out of the bag. Don't believe me? Listen to this.
If President Trump came here to the South Bronx, would you attend the rally?
Of course. I would want to meet Trump. I want to shake his hand.
He's the only president that I see that can ever make America great again. He's capable of doing that.
I would love to go to a rally with Donald Trump come, and I'll support him 100%.
Oh, yeah, definitely we're going to show him love. We're going to show him a lot of love, and, you know, like they do in other states. We definitely need to see Trump here.
There's nothing but love for Donald Trump here in the South Bronx, the North Bronx, the East Bronx, and the West Bronx.
We want Trump to come back, please, bro. Biden, get out of here, bro.
I would come to the rally and support Trump because the Bronx need a change and we need somebody that's really going to help this community.
I would definitely come to a Trump rally in the South Bronx. I like him.
You do?
Yes.
Yes, I will come to a rally if President Trump was to come to the Bronx, and I also would bring other people to come to and support him.
Would Joe Biden get a warm reception if he came to the Bronx?
No, he wouldn't have, and I'll make sure of that.
Absolutely. That's why I think Donald Trump needs to have a big old Madison Square Garden rally, and I know it would be attended well. And black people aren't asking for a handout anymore. They're not asking for a handout. They just want things to be fair. And I gotta tell you, I think we're all just done with the decay and the destruction in our inner cities. I've been talking about it for 30 years on the radio, screaming, when are we gonna do something? We could have another generation of black kids being raised in hell. And the Democrat Party has doubled down on it, but now they're not even pretending. Now the Democratic Party isn't even pretending free crap. Isn't even pretending. They're talking about reparations. You know why they want to pay reparations? Because they want to distract black people from the abuses of the last 170 years by the Democrat Party. But people of color are awake to it now. They're sitting in this filth and decay, waiting for something to happen, and they're realizing it's not gonna happen. The only people who can help are them themselves and get the Democrat Party the hell out of the way, because the Democrat Party has done nothing. We're coming together. We are going to come together, and we're going to right this ship, and we're going to do it without the division and the negativity and the lawfare and the lies and the bullcrap of the Democrat Party. Let's take a break and come back. This, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show. By the way, Joe Biden has inserted gender identity in Title IX, adding biological males to women's rights law. So the Biden administration released Friday its long-awaited overhaul of Title IX, inserting gender identity into the watershed civil rights amendment aimed at eliminating discrimination against girls and women in education. I don't have time to get into this today, but the Democrat Party is as bad as the Taliban with regard to women's rights. You think that they're all about, oh, yeah, you know, equal rights and equal pay and equal all this, equal all that. All you are as a woman to the Democrat Party is an abortion recipient. That's it. You're a vote on abortion and or an abortion recipient. Otherwise, they don't care. They distill women's health care into aborting a baby. That's it. They say it's about women's health care. They could give a crap less. Do you ever hear them talking about cervical cancer? You ever hear them talking about breast cancer? You ever hear them talking about anything? No. All they care about is abortion. That's it. All right? Same goes with the black community. All they care about, give them the least to get their votes, then leave them. And now they aren't even pretending anymore. But there you go. What do you think? What do you think about a party who would allow failed male athletes to move in and destroy the careers of young women? Young women who can't very rarely make a living at athletics. They do it for the love of the sport only. Maybe a scholarship, but never a professional opportunity. Never the opportunity to make the kind of money that men do. And now they're taking that away from them. That's your Democrat Party, ladies. They're not on your side. They've taken the most crystallizing thing that you can do in your life, which is to give birth to a child and raise it. It is. It's why God put you here. If you choose not to have a baby, that's cool. If you choose not to be a parent, that's cool. But for anyone who's ever had a baby and kept the baby, it's the greatest thing you could ever do in your freaking life, above everything. I would venture to say also, as a father, the most crystallizing thing I could do as a human being is to have a son and a daughter and raise my son and daughter. And the Democrat Party has made the crystallizing moment in your life your ability to kill the baby. Not to celebrate. You ever hear them celebrating a child's birth? Do you ever hear them celebrating raising a child? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh, yeah. New York is going to scrap most of its offshore wind projects. You know why? Because they're not viable. Projects were intended to help the state achieve a goal of 70% renewable energy by 2030 while becoming a nationwide leader in renewable energy. It's doing a faceplant because it's all a bunch of crap. It's all a bunch of crap. Solar and wind cannot power New York City. It will never be able to power New York City or any metropolitan area over about, I don't know, a few thousand people at best. It might be able to help a neighborhood, but it ain't going to power a city. It's all been falderal, bullcrap, green energy, payoffs to cronies. NYSERDA, the state authority in charge of the deals, announced Friday no final agreements could be reached with three projects that achieved provisional awards in October of 2023. Basically, they're giving up on wind power, not entirely, but most of it. They're calling this decision a serious setback. It's the end of it. It's the end of it. Hey, we haven't heard about Uncle Bosie. Uncle Bosie, Joe Biden, your presidential candidate, Democrats, your presidential candidate who everybody knows has dementia, who lied about having a relative in World War II that was shot down in an airplane and was consumed by cannibals. Yeah, that's your candidate. That's your insane candidate. Your candidate who has dementia addled and can't put together a sentence, and you know it. That's your candidate. But here is Peter Ducey confronting Corinne Jean-Pierre about Uncle Bozy.
Why is President Biden saying that his Uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals?
So, you know, I answered this question yesterday. I believe I've seen some clips on your network about me answering this
question. She's filibustering while she looks up an answer in her binder.
Question. I don't have much to say beyond what I said to some of your colleagues. Look, I was there. I think you traveled with us, too, to Pennsylvania. I'm not sure if you were there at the memorial.
Sure. Yeah, whatever.
In Scranton. The president had a emotional and...
The president of the United States makes up stories because his family sucks. His family has always sucked. There's nothing special about his family. There's nothing special about his family history. He's just like everybody else. I have a family history. My father served in World War II. My two uncles served in World War II. I don't go around bragging that my dad was shot down. I don't go bragging around about how this and how that. The reason why Joe Biden makes up stuff is because his family's mediocre and corrupt now. I mean, completely and utterly corrupt. That's what he does. There's nothing special about him. None of his relatives were on the Mayflower. None of his relatives were the founding fathers. His family, the Biden family, has largely kind of sucked throughout history. And that's why he makes up all this nonsense. Utter, utter nonsense. Brian, how much time do we have? Real quick, I wonder if I have time for a new song from Jim Gossett. I don't have time for the new song about Uncle Bozy by the great Jim Gossett, but I will have it tomorrow. But that's it. That's why he makes up stories. His family is otherwise unremarkable, and I would venture to say sucks most than the rest of our unremarkable families. Let's take a break and come back, wrap things up. This, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show. All right, so the big news is that Robert Kraft, billionaire, is pulling his support from Columbia University. Screw Columbia University. Defund Columbia University. Defund these Ivy League anti-Semitic hellholes. Defend the people of Israel. Defend the Jewish students. And if they bring violence to you, punch them in the face and take them down. We are done with the nonsense. If you want to hear today's podcast, go to your favorite podcast platform, look up The Rob Carson Show, or just ask Alexa in the meantime.